Well, is that our testimony tonight? That we'd rather have Jesus than anything? Well, if it's not our testimony, it can be. The Lord Himself desires that for every one of us, and He's able to make it our testimony. He's able to put something deep in our hearts to desire Him above all else. I'd like to share with you this evening, very quickly, a few verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4, this book of encouragement, the Apostle Paul to Timothy. You'd say one of his last things that he shared with Timothy before he went to his reward. I'm just going to read part of this fourth chapter. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So as the Apostle Paul here is encouraging Timothy to be faithful to God's word, and he's warned him to expect to be challenged, and he's charged him to fulfill his call. Now he turns to the future. Someone once said, two men looked through the bars. One saw the mud, the other the stars. It all depends on your perspective, doesn't it? Many people, they reach their later years in life plagued by remorse and regret. But as Paul looked out from his imprisonment, from his cold, murky prison perhaps, he saw the stars. The stars of the past, a life well lived, serving the Lord. The stars of the present, living a life with no regrets. And the stars of the future, a bright future with Christ. And he uses these interesting images here to illustrate his thoughts. He said, I have fought a good fight. It was a fight. But truly, Paul had been faithful in that fight. He fought passionately, effectively. He didn't run from the battle. He didn't fight against people, but against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. He fought hard in order to bring the gospel to people and to bring people to Christ. So now he could look back with no regrets and say, I have fought a good fight. And he said, I have finished the race. He knew his time was coming to meet with the Lord, and he had finished his race. Paul had a race mapped out for him by the Lord, and he had finished that race. He doesn't boast and say that, I won, I did it. But he can enjoy the satisfaction of having completed the course that God had mapped out for him, whether it was the path or the race that he would have chosen for himself or not. God had mapped it out for him, and he had finished that race, that marathon. It's probably a better word for it. You know, every one of us has a race mapped out for us. And our races are going to be a little bit different. I'm not called to run your race, and you're not called to run my race. In Hebrews 12, we're called upon to run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. And that's what Paul had done. So now he's looking back over his life, and in addition to the picture of having fought well, he can also say that he finished well, that he's accomplished everything that he was supposed to accomplish. That had been Paul's desire and aim. He said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, he had told them, if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. And the third thing he said was, I've kept the faith. He had truly been focused on the simplicity of the gospel. He hadn't wavered from that. He had determined to preach Christ and Him crucified. He had done what he's been charging Timothy to do. He stayed on message, stuck to accurate doctrine. He's told Timothy to guard the deposit of doctrine of the gospel that had been entrusted to his care. It was always important to Paul to be true to the faith, true to Christ, true to the Word of God. He had seen the bad effects of not being careful about these things. In his letters, he mentions different ones who have spread false teaching and have led others astray and caused shipwreck of their own souls and of their followers. You know, if you remember geometry, a tangent line, it may appear very close to the path when it starts, but the farther it goes, the farther it gets from the original path. And so it is with false teaching, with false gospels. They lead people astray into a false security and a false hope. It's a horrible place to be. Paul never wanted to be responsible for doing that to anyone, and he didn't want Timothy to either. So Paul had carefully guarded the deposit, and he told Timothy to do the same thing. Be careful. Stay true to the message. Keep the faith. So Paul had much to look forward to. He could look through those bars and see the shining stars. He said, henceforth, there's that crown of righteousness laid up for me. Not a crown of glory, but a crown of righteousness. Crowned with the very thing that we as fallen humans could never achieve on our own. Oh, glory be to Christ for the crowning of righteousness that is waiting not only for Paul, but for all who have loved his appearing. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? You know, it doesn't say that the crown of life is laid up for the most gifted, the most talented, the smartest, the most successful. But for those who have loved his appearing. Loving the Lord's appearing means more than just loving the idea that he's coming back someday to take us all to be with him. It means loving his appearing now. Loving his presence here among us now. Longing for Jesus now. You know, we're not likely to be loving his appearing in the future if we haven't been loving his appearing now in our midst by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Last week, our brother Bob Peckfield went to be with the Lord. Many of you probably knew him. And my thoughts were drawn to these verses when I thought of him. And he was one who kind of modeled this behavior, I think, of living a life of longing for Jesus. If you ever were in a worship service with Brother Bob Peckfield, you'd hear him. You'd hear him worshiping the Lord, lost in God's presence, loving him, just loving being with Jesus. He left a great example for us to follow, didn't he?
Yes.
But even more than that, he left a testimony behind of the transformation that Jesus makes in a life that pays attention to him and that surrenders to him. And I was thinking, wow, if we just try to be more like Brother Bob, if we try harder, I think we'll eventually find ourselves disappointed in spite of our good intentions, because we need something more than good intentions. But if we rather say, well, I want to know Jesus like Brother Bob did. I want to long for Jesus like Brother Bob did. Then we can go on with a great hope before us, confident that the Lord will work in us and transform us and prepare that crown for us as we long for his appearance. And how wonderful that the Lord Jesus has saved us from sin. He has brought us out of darkness into his wonderful, wonderful light. In addition to that, he has given us a bright hope for the future as we focus on eternal things. As we remember that blessed hope that Paul speaks of in Titus. That blessed hope that's before us as we love him and serve him and long for him. So as we live this life, as we walk this path, as we run this race, we can look forward and pray, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. We long for your appearing. And we long to meet with you now. We long to live in your presence now. And as we live that way day by day, we can look forward to that crown of righteousness that the Lord has prepared for you and me on that day. And so for Paul, as he states to the Thessalonians, for him, death had lost its sting, and the grave had lost its victory, because he had that blessed hope in Christ as he approached his time to depart this world. So how about us? Does that hope burn brightly in our hearts? Do we long for him? As we look out the window, do we see the mud or the fallen trees? Or do we see the stars? Do we see that bright hope? You know, the things of this life can wear us down. And if we're honest, we're tempted often to look at the mud instead of the stars. And the Lord doesn't condemn us for that. But he offers to change our perspective as we learn to look up and see him in the midst of it all. See him all the time and long for and love him, and love is appearing to us. So let's be encouraged to look beyond the dark things of this life that weigh us down, things that discourage us and try to defeat us. And let's rejoice in our God, in who he is, in what he has done for us. And let's learn to praise the Lord at all times and let his praise be continually in our mouths. And he will help us. And he'll enable us to go all the way through to glory by his grace. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look.
Yet to the true and the close in prayer for us? Jesus, hallelujah.
Lord, we understand that in eternity past, before you created the earth, before you created the heavens, you existed in an eternal state, just the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And there was enough wealth, there was enough treasure, there was enough joy and excitement and interest just in that relationship. Oh Lord, this means that there is wonder and glory and beauty and blessing, infinite, in the face of Jesus Christ, in the heart of Jesus Christ. Well, Lord, once that blessed Christ of beauty was veiled off from human view, but now we can behold that man of sorrows in plain view. Lord, we're here at camp for this purpose. We want you to minister to us that living Christ. Dear Father, we lift our hearts to you and we ask you this question. Is there anything in Jesus? Is there any glory, any beauty, anything that you see in him that you would want to share with us that we could see it also? Lord, will you unveil Jesus to our hearts?
Yes, Lord.
I know we're lazy and I know we're short-sighted and blind. Oh, but Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can open our eyes and we can see the beauty of Jesus. Lord, we're asking you to ruin us or anything else.
Yes,
we're asking you to make us love Jesus. What's it say that when he came to his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Well, Lord, we understand from that passage that it's the easiest thing in the world not to receive you. Lord Jesus, we ask you to forbid that in our hearts, forbid that in our midst, forbid it in our families, Lord. Let us receive you, let us see you, let us know you, Lord. Give us this gift, give us this blessing, Lord. Open heavens above this camp and shine Jesus down upon us in our hearts.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I don't want to be rude, but if you would make your way out to do your fellowship and talking, that would be helpful to the waitresses, because they don't finish until we're out. They've had a long day. So God bless you, and if you'd like to be in the meeting or show up anytime.